D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Derek, myself, and David Janes are back in our, well, we are, we're not, we didn't, we, but we are back because we just took off the weekend. But we are broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick is in St. Louis, where the Predators will take on the Blues tonight. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5, The Game. And it's almost Christmas. Mm-hmm. Next week is Christmas, guys, and we are in a giving mood. I know, right? We are in a giving mood all week long on this program. We will be giving away 5 pairs of tickets to the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl on Tuesday, December 30th, the Tennessee Volunteers versus the Illinois Fighting Illini at Nissan Stadium. One pair per day. So if you want a pair of tickets to see the Music City Bowl later this month, be listening each and every day. And I'll even drop a hint. We will be giving away the first pair today in this hour. So what, sometime between now and the top of the hour, we will be giving away a pair of Music City Bowl tickets. So be listening. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us at 3:40. But Willie, Derek, you two are of a certain age, which is a nice way of saying you guys are a little bit older than I am. You guys are familiar with the show, The Facts of Life, right?
Absolutely.
Willie?
Take the good to take the
bad. One of my faves. One of my faves.
Well, Derek just sort of spoiled it for me. If you like that show, you remember the famous theme song. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have The Facts of Life. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that is what I was thinking as I was watching Cam Ward against the San Francisco 49ers yesterday. By the way, the Titans lost 37-24 to those 49ers in Santa Clara, California. But you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have The Facts of Life of Cam Ward's rookie season with the Tennessee Titans. And I think, Derek, yesterday was yet another example of taking the good and taking the bad. Mm-hmm. We saw some outstanding plays from Cam Ward. You think of the scramble drill that he executed to find Jeffrey Simmons, of all people, in the end zone for a touchdown. The pass to Gunnar Helm, deep pass for a touchdown. Really nice throw from Cam Ward. And yet, he still had some struggles, threw some balls right to 49ers defensive backs who dropped potential interceptions. The numbers weren't great. They weren't eye-popping, I should say. 18 of 29 for 170 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Or no interceptions, excuse me. 0 interceptions. 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So then again, as I said, Derek, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have life with Cam Ward. Let's start with the quarterback. How would you evaluate his performance yesterday?
I mean, it was inconsistent. It was, again, rookie play. You know, he had some good. He had some throws that he wanted back. He had some drops. But all in all, I think, you know, you watch a guy, and how I watch him. I'm not talking about how everyone else claims to watch him or what they're looking for. I'm basing it on what I've seen through my years in this league, watching Cam, the quarterbacks that came before Cam, and just watching, you know, him throughout each game. And he's not the quarterback he was the first game of the season. I think he's a much better quarterback than that. But again, as I've always said, he has a long way to go. And I'm not going to sit here, because I didn't do it with Levis either. I wanted to see that second season. I wanted to see how he came back off of having a full off season of just concentrating on being an NFL quarterback. And he came back and it looked the same. So the Titans chose, you know, to go another route. Cam, I see some things that he needs to improve on. We talked about this last week, Adam, as well as Willie. The deep throws to the left side of the field. For some reason, he has been off to that side of the field. And it showed its head once again. That's something that he's going to have to, like, intently work on. Passes down the field, those chunk plays that only come so many times during a game. And if you don't take advantage of them, it makes the intermediate to short game a lot tougher, because no one is expecting, or no one thinks that you're going to throw it down the field, or respect you completing the pass. That's what I was looking for. Respect you throwing the ball down the field. Why? Because you haven't completed anything down the field to that side of the field. So, listen, he had his good, he had his bad. He could have been better. I thought some of his players let him down as well. But I thought the coaching staff at times let him down. But I think each week he shows you that, listen, if you surround me with people, again, he's throwing to rookies. He's throwing all rookies except Van Jefferson. And then the rookie, they all switch. One guy's in, one guy's out, one guy's hurt. They, you know, bring another guy up from practice squad. So he's never had, in this season, five or four consistent pass catchers. Okay? And he, because of that, I think it throws him off some. But yet and still, this is the NFL, and eventually you got to make those throws, and I understand that. But I'm not going to sit here and, you know, make my determination on whether Cam is a good quarterback or a bad quarterback based upon this season, because he has a lot going against him, and I mean a lot. Again, just look at that roster. The one bright spot in all of this is the running game. And what the offensive line has been able to do the last 2 weeks against very good defense.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah, so that's the bright spot in all of this. But everything else has remained the same. He's still, his main guys are rookie guys that he's depending on.
Willie, this is completely anecdotal. But I feel like almost every game I've watched the Titans play this season, there is at least one throw that Cam Ward misses that the color analyst immediately says, oh, you got to make that throw. Mm-hmm. And you had that yesterday with that deep pass to Van Jefferson near the end of the first half. What was your evaluation, Willie, of Cam Ward's performance yesterday?
I agree with that assessment, and I hear what the announcers are saying. I think there's, in addition to that, where there's one or two opportunities missed that are completely on Cam, there another theme, and this is nothing new, that we talk about every week, the two or three passes that are heaters, that are not perfect throws, but catchable throws, and you're asking yourself, would a better receiver have come up with that? So you have that as well as you try to put all of these numbers in context. I would say this about yesterday, and I do think this happened in the Seahawks game as well. The Titans were clearly beaten. San Francisco had control of the game. Some of Cam's production that contribute to a 101.2 passer rating, which is good, is, I think, downgraded a little bit, because when you're behind, and it's better than not putting up any numbers at all. So, you take the good with the bad. But when you're playing catch-up, you should be able to play against looser defenses that you can do some things against. And so I think the QBR is something to look at as well. It's only 37.9, which is better than his season average. But the 37.9, I think, takes into account that a lot of what he did came after they were playing catch-up. So it's a step forward. These are all little things. I still am optimistic that he can be good. But the more you watch, the more I think the one thing that I'm most concerned is the ceiling is a little lower than I hoped it would be when we started the year. I think that's what we've learned. And look, I could be completely wrong. He could make a huge jump down the road once they get him, that D-Mace keeps talking about, get him the supportive pieces, maybe he'll take a leap. But I think he's going to be good. I don't know how great he's going to be.
I don't think the ceiling has lowered. I don't think we know what the ceiling is, because you're asking him to go out there and make chicken soup out of you know what. And that's basically what it is. The bright spot, again, is the last 2 weeks, the offensive line has looked better from a run blocking standpoint. And they've looked okay pass blocking. Udo did a good job, I thought, this past weekend versus the San Francisco 49ers. But I don't know what this kid's ceiling is. I really don't, because 1 minute, you know, he you see him throw that pass, or you see him make that pass that you think, man, that's an NFL pass. But then other times, another minute, he misses a pass like that. Then it's another where he makes the pass and the receiver drops it. Then it's another, he's scrambling and nobody's getting open. And then it's another where the offensive line. So to me, I don't know what this kid's ceiling is. And honestly, I think at this point, nobody knows. Just like nobody knew what Will Levis's ceiling was. They hoped that he would come back and play a lot better, but they didn't know exactly what that ceiling was. They found out the next season how low it was. It's the same with Cam. I don't know where this kid's ceiling is. I don't know what he will end up being. And I know people want to dump on him because they want to have that hot take, and they hope that they're right at the end of the day. But I'm going to tell you this. A guy that's played in this league for 15 years, after first year, you ain't going to know. We saw C.J. Stroud the next following year take two steps back. We saw Bryce Young start off slow, very slow, and they were questioning him, and now he's playing much better. Jaden Daniels the same way. He wasn't playing great before he got injured. So nobody knows what this young man's ceiling's going to be. Is he playing like a number one pick in the draft? No, he's not. And I will admit that all day, every day, until it changes. But I also got to understand and recognize that the talent around him isn't where it needs to be for a first-year quarterback. I understand why the Titans had to draft him, but you're putting him in a position that everybody knew coming into the season. That's the part that I really don't understand. Everybody knew this before the season got here, what the talent was going to look like and how it would affect him. But yet and still, when we get in the season, it's like, oh, he's not good. Like, come on, give me a damn break with that, okay? Seriously. It's becoming people wanting to talk just to talk. They look at they watch Cam every week, and they're looking for a reason to doubt this young man. Listen, if he doesn't make it, he doesn't make it. It's no sweat off my back whatsoever. Maybe it gives us something else to talk about. I don't know. But I don't know where this kid's ceiling is because he doesn't have the talent around him that he needs. They know it, the Titans. That's why they haven't said anything. We should know it because we've been watching it the last 3 years. So anybody that would have stepped in this position, they would have had trouble. Any quarterback they would have drafted, Jackson Dart, I don't care who they would have drafted this past year, that guy would have had trouble. Maybe they should have went in and got a proven veteran guy to at least start. Now, we can have that conversation. Maybe they should have brought in a veteran guy, not the guy they got now, because we know that he ain't going to win no games. Maybe they should have brought a veteran guy in here and allowed this young man to sort of sit for a minute. We can have that discussion, because at first I was like, listen, he needs to play, and rightfully so. But I'm not too proud or too arrogant to think, man, maybe they should have just waited and sat him for a little while. Maybe that would have helped him a little bit. I can do that. So if everybody want to have that conversation, we can have it. But the conversation of him not being the guy, that's not a conversation we can have now, because this season, you will never get the full effect of what Cam can be, because the people around him are young, inexperienced, and they don't have that much talent.
Here's the issue, and I've made this point before. The problem for Cam Ward this season, and actually, before I get to my point, let me read to you something that Nick Suss wrote in the Tennessean that makes my point. Mm-hmm. Quote, "The 49ers game marked the eighth time in 14 games that Ward didn't even get to 200 passing yards. It also marked his first game with a passer rating north of 100. Will Levis had five of those with the Titans. Jake Locker had six. Ward is officially tied with guys like Zach Mettenberger, Alex Tanney, Blaine Gabbert, and Mason Rudolph. Those are hardly the names you want your number one pick to be sharing company with late in the season," end quote. I said this last week, Derek and Willie, as we were discussing Cam Ward's performance against Shedeur Sanders and the Cleveland Browns. Cam Ward has not had a game like Shedeur Sanders had against the Titans.
Shedeur Sanders was going against the worst secondary. Have y'all seen that second?
Hold on.
Don't.
I hear you.
Oh,
did you see Shedeur Sanders yesterday?
He was going against a much better secondary.
Yes, he struggled against the Bears. I'm not trying to get any scabs here.
My
point is this. Cam Ward has been hurt by the fact that he has not had a Shedeur Sanders-like game. I understand what you're saying, Derek. We've gone through the caliber of defenses that Cam Ward has faced this season. Some of the top defenses, many of the top defenses in the NFL. The problem for people watching Cam Ward this season is he has plays in every game that make you go, whoa. Like, he actually had a great play yesterday that Chim Dike dropped. Ward scrambled out, evaded multiple defenders right against the sideline, threw a dart to Dike. Dike dropped it. That was a cool play. The touchdown pass to Simmons, the touchdown pass to Helm. He makes plays like that at least once in every game, most games. Maybe not every game, but most games. The problem is, as that stat from Nick Suss just said, 8 of 14 games, he didn't even reach 200 yards. He hasn't had the 70% completion, 325-yard, 3-touchdown, 0-interception performance. And until I'm convinced, guys, and Willie, you tell me if I'm wrong, until he has one of those games, people are going to continue to doubt Cam Ward. People will probably still continue to doubt Cam Ward, even if he has one of those games. But the fact that he hasn't had one of those games is really hurting his evaluation for a lot of people.
It would not, I don't get me wrong. It would be nice for him to flash that. I understand what D-Mace is saying. It's not an end-all, be-all. It's really, what does he look like next year at this point? But so I'm willing to take the baby steps, but I think you're right, Adam, in the perception, people are going to look at the numbers, and the numbers are at the bottom. And so there will be a lot of questions. But I do think just because the numbers are low doesn't mean he can't make a jump. And I think that's the point that D-Mace is throwing out there. And he is going to face, he's going to face a demoralized Chiefs team that is in unfamiliar territory. I wonder what that will look like. The Chiefs just, they're done. When's the last time they've been done this far into the season? And they're playing without Patrick Mahomes?
More than a decade ago, at least. Or at least a decade ago.
They could catch them at the right time. He could have that game against them. He's got a game against the Saints. Maybe that's a game. I don't know. It would be nice to see, but I'm not going to panic if he doesn't.
615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Titans' loss, 37-24 to the 49ers. Cam Ward, 18 of 29 for 170 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. It might be time for another Cam Ward vibe check. We haven't done that in a few weeks. 615-737-1025. We see your calls. We'll get to them next. But in the meantime, Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action from Queso to kickoffs. This is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12th South. Don't miss a snap.
Just overthrew it. Tried to put it too much outside of his shoulder. Then instead of just, throwing him upfield.
Do you feel like you have to rush to throw it?
I mean, I had to look at the film and see, but at the end of the day, I just got to, put in at least his vicinity for him to make a play.
That was Cam Ward on his missed connection with Van Jefferson late in the second quarter. That could have set up a scoring opportunity for the Tennessee Titans. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Tomorrow between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card, and you can also qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card for the 12 days of Christmas here on 102.5 The Game. Of course, we are talking Cam Ward's performance, 18 of 29, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, the 8th time in 14 games that Ward didn't even get to 200 passing yards. The first game this season, he had a passer rating north of 100. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our friend Trey on our phone line. Trey, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to say that Me personally, I know Derek feels very, very strongly about, you know, giving Cam a shot. I honestly do too. I really, really do. But from the time that he come here, you had the upper echelon of the organization saying that he can make all the throws. He's a, you know, he'll run, you know, and he can do this and he can do this. And you had these people that make millions and millions of dollars that make these very crucial decisions saying that he can do these things. And he has not produced that. I feel like that the wide receivers have – the ball hasn't gotten there more than they've dropped. Yeah, it's been some drops and it's been some bad ones, but I feel like that, you know, he don't have, you know, the touch on the ball, you know, and then – and then, you know, TD and them got to ask him why the ball coming out this way and that way. That means he don't have the skill to get the ball the right in there the right way. That's all it is. He need to work on his skill set and stop trying to, you know, explain why the ball isn't coming the way that it's supposed to come. Who does that? Like, don't explain it. Just go out there and do it. You've had a complete team. On paper, you had a complete team. You had Calvin Ridley, Snead. You had everybody that you wanted. Now you don't have them, and you're still not producing. You're still not producing any wins. Any wins. One was gifted to you. You won another one. It's been, what, 18 games? I was told to shut up, Trey. Shut up, Trey. It's only been 10 games. Now it's been 15, 16. Now what? You know, I'm going to give him a chance, but it's looking very, very, very bad. And I love y'all to death. And don't take my words out of context or the wrong way, but I feel like he needs to progress right now. He got 3 games. He needs to progress right now, 2 games, whatever. He needs to do what he needs to do right now. And y'all have a good day. Thank you. I love y'all.
We love you too, Trey. We love you too. We appreciate your passion, Trey. Mm. That's why we love taking your calls. Look, as Trey just said, he's got 3 games. He's got the playoff, eliminated from playoff contention Chiefs, mm-hmm. which has not happened in a decade. Mm-hmm. He's got the Saints, who are winning all of a sudden. Yikes for the Saints fan in attendance here. And they've got the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. So a mixed bag of opponents. Barring Cam Ward having the type of game we were just discussing, Willie, the eye-popping numbers type of game, the 350 passing yards, completing 65 to 70% of the passes, 3 or 4 passing touchdowns, without one of those games, I think the season is going to end with everybody in the corner they're in right now. If you are in the Cam stinks, the Titans made a terrible mistake by drafting him number 1 overall, you're going to be in that corner. If you are in the Cam Ward, he needs more time, he has a bad team around him, they need to build up the roster, it's much less Cam's fault than his environment, you're going to be in that corner. It's going to take, Willie, one of those performances I was just describing, the Shedeur Sanders-like performance from last week, to, I think, even give people heading into the offseason the notion that they can think differently.
I'm going to be a little more nuanced with what I'm looking for from the numbers, because as D-Mace pointed out, yeah, Shedeur Sanders had numbers against the Titans, but A, it's against the Titans, a bad defense, and B, it was a losing performance. They were behind. He got to throw a lot. They had to throw. So, yeah, he threw some great throws in that game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from his performance. He was good. But your numbers are going to look better when your team is behind and the other team is playing the scoreboard. They're playing looser. They're going to give you some stuff. I want to see more efficiency throughout the game. I'm looking for growth that way. I'd like to see some of the underlying numbers come up. That's what troubles me more than just show me a score sheet where he's got 250 or 300 yards passing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you can play really well in the context of game if you throw for 170, right? So some, you don't need to throw for any more than that. If you throw for the right 170 or if your defense plays well, you see, like, it doesn't have to be fantasy stats. It's efficiency. And he's low inefficiency.
I completely agree with you, Willie. You know that I love those fancy stats just as much as you do. But to the casual slash general fan who doesn't pay as much attention to those things, the efficiency numbers versus just the counting stats, the passing yards, the touchdowns, the fantasy stats, it's probably, my point is, it's probably going to take one of those types of performances from Cam Ward to get somebody on the Cam Stink side of the aisle to even consider changing their mind. I agree with your premise, Willie. My point is, not everybody digs into the numbers the way that we do. They need to see the eye test. They need to see the wow plays. They need to see those sorts of things.
As we found out, Heisman voters don't dig into the numbers on Saturday.
We will get to Diego Pavia. There is a lot to get to on Diego Pavia. Let's go to our friend Mark from Nashville on our phone line. Mark, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, let's just – hey, how y'all doing, Willie? D-Mace, Willie, how y'all doing, man?
We'll you said Willie twice.
Adam. You forgot Adam.
You said Willie twice.
Adam, I'm sorry, Adam, D-Mate.
Oh, I thought there was a shot in there.
Hey, do y'all ever notice Uncle D-Mate always gets on me? D-Mate, I'm sorry. I forgot. My fault. I got you. Hey, look, let's just go on and cut Cam right now. Let's just cut him. I mean, because nobody's satisfied. I'm on the bandwagon with D-Mate. Give this man some time. He doesn't have the playmakers. Don't people get that? Trey, don't you get that? He doesn't have the playmakers. How many balls did Ridley, Jefferson, and all those guys drop in all those earlier games? You didn't say nothing about that. But you want to talk about the progression of Cam. I think he is progressing. I think next year he'll become a good quarterback. Even if you're going to have to hire somebody to bring him in, a good quarterback coach, a good offensive coordinator, design an offense for Cam. But he's got to have playmakers. That team does not have playmakers. They continue to drop passes. They continue a lot of time to be out of position on their routes. So quit blaming Cam for this, that, and the other. He's played against way more defensive elite teams than Shadur had. And like y'all said, Shadur had to play mop up type football and put up numbers like Willie was saying and stuff. I really wish people would just get off Cam. If that's the case, cut him today. I mean, you got to give this man a chance. He's got to have – and don't compare him to no freaking Blaine Gabbert, Will Levis. Get off that, man. That's yesteryear, Zach Medenberg. We don't want to hear that, Nashville. Get behind this quarterback. He will be okay. Leave him alone. Just let him play his game. He doesn't have to throw for 300 or 400 yards to be a good quarterback or whatnot. We'd like to see him do that. But I see the guy progressing. I've watched Cam for 2 years. He's my guy. I'm going to ride with him. Not a Titans fan, but he's still my guy.
Thank you for the call, Mark. We appreciate it, man. I'm sorry. We do have a lot of phones to get to, but we appreciate you calling as always, Mark. Let's go to T-Mac in the borough. T-Mac, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Okay. I don't want anybody to get offended when I say this, but I think anyone who's trying to judge Cam Ward in his first season is either slow or like a certain level of intellect. Because think about this. If we look at Marcus Mariota first game, he threw 4 touchdowns. Look at when it ended up happening to him. Will Levis threw 4 touchdowns. Look at him, right? You may have said it earlier. He talked about Bryce Young, right? First year, he struggled. Now look at him. Look at, you know, Peyton Manning. He went 3-13 his first year. You know, he set a record for the most interceptions thrown by a rookie. Anyone who – you got to look at the situation. You got to look at the fact they have Brian Callahan. You got to look at the fact they don't have any receivers. If anyone expects anything, a stellar performance out of Cam Ward this season, it's got to be off in the head with a staff like the Titans have right now. And the first year is not an indicator of how his career is going to pan out, because you got to look at everybody else. You got to look at Peyton Manning. You got to look at Brett Favre when he was with the Falcons. You got to look at all of these different situations and know that the first year, most especially with the staff that they have, is not an indicator of what type of player. Now, if it's year 2, year 3, okay, then you can make an assessment. But you cannot make an assessment off of year 1. I need everybody who said the Cam Ward is a bust please go watch some football and stop commenting on the first feeling that you get in your heart. And I'll hang up and I'll listen.
Thank you, T-Mac. Let's quickly go to Dylan on our phone line. Dylan, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was just going to say, as far as, like, the progression goes, I think he is getting better. I agree with Willie. I think I would like to see Cam Ward approach, like, Ryan Tannehill numbers, because I loved Ryan Tannehill. But, you know, Ryan Tannehill never really threw for over 300 yards a game. He was always in that sweet spot of, like, 150 to 200, and they did play action really well. But Ryan Tannehill's completion percentage was pretty high. And he made plays when he needs to. I think that Cam Ward needs to follow that a bit. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to get the crazy yards, but I think he can run an offense kind of sort of like that. And, of course, he's got his scrambling ability. So that's just what I wanted to say. You can be efficient and you can be good and not have to throw for over 300 yards a game like Joe Burrow or Joe Flacco, somebody like that. So that's all I was going to say, y'all.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you.
A lot of different opinions there, guys. We appreciate all of you calling. A lot of different opinions. Derek, quickly, summarize everything you heard. Some staunch defenders of Cam Ward on those calls.
Listen, Trey made some good points. Because eventually he's going to have to start, you know, consistently. Because he's made these throws that I don't know why people – we've seen the NFL throws, and we've seen them more than once to make me think that, okay – he doesn't have a problem playing in this league. Does he need to be more consistent? Absolutely, he needs to be more consistent. But I'm looking at it, you know, as far as what does he have around him? And not just players, but, you know, Mark and our other callers after Trey said it, the coaching staff. He has a lame duck coaching staff outside of probably Bones. That's it. But he has a lame duck coaching staff that is trying to do the best that they can, and maybe it's working, maybe it's not, as far as small developments. But this young man, I mean, there are things that he needs to get better at, and there are things that he has shown me in the time that he's played that you surround him with some talent, then that's when the real evaluation should start.
615-737-1025. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us next. Excuse me. We will ask him about Cam Ward and some other things that happened in the game yesterday, a 37-24 loss to the 49ers. 615-737-1025. 94.9 The Fan is your home for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Tonight, the Commodores take on South Florida at Memorial Gym at 6:30 p.m. Pregame begins at 6:15. D-Mace, Van Gittin Donick, 102.5 The Game. Be listening after Teron Davenport, because I will be giving away our first pair of Music City Bowl tickets. We are giving away one pair per show all week, and you have your first chance to win a pair of Music City Bowl tickets as soon as we are done talking to our next guest, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, who is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. And TD, of course, we're going to talk to you about Cam Ward, but I want to start on a different subject. I saw this tweet from Seth Walder of ESPN.com that I found fascinating. He said, quote, wild stat for a 13-point loss. The Titans had a 70% success rate on designed runs against the 49ers yesterday. That's the highest designed run success rate in a game by any team all season. What has gotten into the running game over the past couple of weeks?
Well, listen, man, I appreciate that stat, but that's like, that's too many algorithms and formulas for me, man.
Fair enough.
I'll just keep it 100 with you, man. And Tony Pollard, we talked to him today, and he said it. And it's something that I have been saying they needed to do for a couple weeks now, and it's dedicating themselves to the run game. You see, the run game is something that it takes patience, right? And these days, there's not a lot of patience. So when you get the 2-yard run, you get the 4-yard run, and then things start to sync up. Next thing you know, you got a 30-yard run. And then, you know, if you got a Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley, it's a 70-yard run. So it's really just staying dedicated to it and keep hitting it. And offensive linemen, man, they'll tell you, they want to do that all day because they want to be the ones going and and generating the contact as far as catching it. So as all that happens over time, you start to see the running game really start to succeed, and that's what's happened the last couple weeks.
Teron, I know that you are at every game, so you don't have the pleasure of watching the broadcast in real time. I know you go back and watch them, though. And I was saying at the beginning of the show, I don't know if it's every game, most games this season. There is at least one pass attempt that Cam Ward has where he misses the receiver, like the one to Van Jefferson yesterday, for example, or the one to Chimdike last week, for example. There's at least one throw in every game where the color commentator immediately says, man, that's a throw you've got to make. You watch Cam Ward so closely. I trust your opinion so much on these things. What would you say your level of concern, for lack of a better phrase, is about Cam Ward leaving so many big plays on the field?
Well, I don't really – there isn't a concern to me. I think there's an awareness that you have to have, but he's a rookie, and not excusing it because you do have to make those shots. But that's something that will come in time, and I think – overall, I mean, that was kind of my takeaway from the game yesterday was, is he leaving too many big plays on the field? That was in our write-up, and he is. But, I think it's something that can be corrected and can be fixed. But right now, the guy just got – there's so much going on as far as, you know, the footwork and everything that he's – you know, the multiple – there's just too much going on for him. And it's going to take a bit before he could get right.
Now, Teron, how do you think Udo played? I think he, by just watching him at first glance, watching the game, and them not totally fixing in on him, but because of how the game, the run game went, particularly toward his side, and, you know, some of the pass blocking that he was able to do, how do you think he played in place of Moore?
Yeah, I think he was solid. I think he did what he needed to do. Just as far as holding it down. And, I mean, you do have to note that it wasn't exactly, you know, the monsters of the midway that were coming off the edge, but he still was able to hold his own. So, yeah, I mean, I think he played solid. Cam Ward had time to throw, you know, for the most part, and he wasn't really under a lot of duress. There were some times where he had to scramble, but the O-line overall, I think, was decent.
Now, the secondary – I mean, this group, man, they are probably down to their last man. What has Denard Wilson said about that secondary? Because, honestly, we saw it yesterday. I think San Francisco could have passed for 400 or 500 yards if they wanted to. That's how depleted they were in the back end. What is the next step for the Titans as far as that? Are they going to bring more guys in, try to bring more guys in, bring guys up in the practice squad, or are those guys that got hurt yesterday expected to play this week?
The guys that got hurt yesterday, you know, mostly the safeties, you know, we'll see what happens. They're hamstring injuries, and you know how those things work. They're a little tricky, but I think when you look at, I don't know if they could keep, like, they could go any deeper, man. Like, they're really scraping the you know, I don't want to say the bottom of the barrel because none of these guys are that to me. They're just like, they've exhausted.
As far as their debt-wise, they are going to, like, the bottom of the roster in regards
to
that.
Yeah, like, they've exhausted options. I mean, next thing, maybe, you know, see Michael Robinson out there a bit more, but. Hey, Denard Wilson, I tip my cap to him because, you know, I would have blown a gasket. You know, all these options continue to be taken away by injury or trade, and stuff just gets worse and worse. And I don't know, man. It's a tough call.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, another nice set of numbers for Gunnar Helm. I think we've talked about it more than once. The efficiency for him, when they throw to him, he seems to – good things seem to happen. 4 targets, 4 receptions yesterday, and he gets the big touchdown.
Mm-hmm. He's just – he's a consistent player. And, you know, we talk about the passing of Cam Ward. Well, look, that throw that he made to Gunnar Helm, and D-Maze, you could appreciate this, that throw – took him away from contact, right? And this set him up to be able to dive into the end zone for that. So, you know, there's a chemistry that's going on between Gunnar Helm and Cam Ward that you love to see. And if I'm not mistaken, he broke the rookie record for receptions by a tight end for the Titans. So that's something else to take note of.
How do you think he's progressing as a blocker?
He's coming along well, you know, and I go over there and watch Luke Stocker get those guys on the sled and work with them and use the bags and things, and you're seeing progress there. I think that's a really good thing. And obviously at Texas, you know, it wasn't something he did a whole lot, but he's capable of it, and you're seeing it. So, yes, he's coming along well.
I haven't looked ahead at Tony Pollard's contract situation for next year, but, you know, he's got a couple of nice games here. You know what you get with him. I'm really curious, what is the plan for Tony Pollard next year? Do you think he's in their plans, or do you think they're looking to go in a different direction?
I honestly, so before these last couple of weeks, I was more or less convinced that he was going to be gone. And you look
exactly.
at it, you know, 28 years old, he's going to be 29 when next season starts. And you look at the contract, I mean, they could save some money, but this isn't a team that exactly needs to save money. I think it really depends on, you know, that veteran, not veteran, but who the coach is, you know what I mean? Because, you know, he's on there next year. I think it's like looking at the number here, his cap hit is $9.2 million. So it's likely he's going. The dead cap is only $2 million. So I would look at that. I don't know that they put that much into Tony Pollard, actually, looking at the contract.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Maze, Ving, and Adonik. He joins us every Monday during football season, and he is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
All right. Appreciate you guys, man. Take it easy.
You as well. I want to get to a couple of texts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Two opposing views. Matt says, I'm not in either camp that says Ward is or isn't the guy. I am, however, in the camp that says we've seen his ability is there, so let's bring in the coaching and supporting cast around him to give him his best chance. Meanwhile, Jared from Spring Hill says, us fans were sold on the idea Ward can do no wrong. Callahan is a quarterback guru, and Chad Brinker and company assembled the best roster to support him. If they didn't think the roster was great, should have taken the trade with the Giants and built up a proper team, but he's got to carry, and he can't carry.
I mean, listen, there's nothing. I don't think the Titans, you know, promised that he would be the end-all, be-all. I don't think I heard that. They were explaining why they drafted him, because they felt he could be that guy. But they understand. I mean, there's a maturing that needs to take place, and there's a development that needs to take place. Just because I say he's the guy doesn't mean that there's no development and there's no maturity that's going to take place. We all understand that, whether they would have drafted him first overall or 10th overall. We knew that he was going to be the starting quarterback, and we knew that they were going to hitch their wagon to him. But the organization knew that it was going to take a while. It was going to take a minute before they got rolling. I think it's been worse than what they thought it was going to be. I really do. You know, you got injuries everywhere. And even when the guys weren't injured, the guys that you expected to play well wasn't playing well. And we talked about that at the beginning of the season. When you have a young quarterback, those guys that are tasked to play well, those veteran guys, they must play well. And what did we see at the beginning? They were not playing well at all. None of them. So, again, whether you're with Cam or not, yes, he does need to develop. But also, it's not just about, you know, Cam developing, because he can develop and you still can be a bad team because you don't have talent around him.
Quickly, let's go to Dustin in Hopkinsville on our phone line. Dustin, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey, I'm in the camp of the middle, but it drives me nuts when people go either way, like hard in the paint, man. Somebody mentioned Ryan Tannehill. Buddy, we drafted him at number one. I don't want Ryan Tannehill numbers. I want a number one quarterback like Mahomes at number one. Or, like you said, you should have took the six picks and traded back. But here's where we are. I like Cam Ward. I love his leadership. I got my son sitting in me next to me in the truck right now. Sleep. If he grows up to be a man like Cam Ward, hell to the yes. Okay? But on the same sense, the dude has some accuracy issues. He was dancing in the pocket a lot. The line's getting better. However, to throw under 200 most of your games without a good running game behind you, like, it's a double-edged sword. Like, and Shedeur Sanders, if you watched the game yesterday, he struggled in the first half, but he come out and he tried. And I really like what that dude does. If you've seen that throw to the end zone, the receiver caught it, and the corner just ripped it out of his hands. What can a quarterback do about that? Like, they both deserve the respect. They're both young. One thing about Shedeur, the dude's only played, what, 3-4 games now? He ain't been with the first team reps. Man, I'm for Cam. I want this dude to succeed. If anybody doesn't, they're lacking on the intelligence. But to sit here and say either way, I feel like it's silly. You do have to give him about half of next season, and then about mid-season, you're going to know what you got.
Thank you for the call, Dustin.
Because I remember this, too. And everybody was screaming, 20 games, 20 games, give him 20 games, give him 20 games. And we're talking about Will Levis. And then after 20 games, everybody was like, man, yeah, he's not quite the guy. So get that same energy to Cam. Give him 20 games. Hell, give him 25. You know, give him a year and a half and then see if he's making that jump that he needs to make. You know, because after one season, it's not going to tell the whole story. He's developing, I think, in ways that people are not understanding because they don't see the numbers that back it up.
615-737-1025. We will get back into Cam Ward and the Titans. So if you have thoughts on him and the team, get him in. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, let's talk about Diego Pavia. Diego takes Manhattan. And, yeah.
He took it.
Oh, he took it. We'll talk about the Heisman Trophy vote, but we'll also talk about the extracurriculars, I guess you could say. 615-737-1025. But I said I have Music City Bowl tickets, and here you go. Be caller number 4 at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to see the Music City Bowl, Tennessee versus Illinois at Nissan Stadium on Tuesday, December 30th. Caller number 4 right now, 615-737-1025. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com.